Hi, everyone, and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we are in part two of The Winds of Change. And to be honest, I don't like change.
What?
I don't.
Shocker.
I know, such a shocker. So the question is, how do you feel about change?
This is New Every Day with Jen Wagger and Carrie Webb.
Hi everyone, thanks so much for tuning in again to New Every Day. And if this is your first time watching, welcome.
We're
to
so
New
glad
Every Day.
That you're
We're
watching.
So glad. This is just Jen and I sitting down, having a chat, opening the Bible, talking about God, talking about life, and that's that.
That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Because we actually do this quite regularly without a camera turned on, and so someone came up with a great idea of, hey, why don't you record those? And we're like,
Okay. And here we are. And we've been doing it for several years now. And
like coming up, finishing up 3 years.
Isn't that
soon.
Crazy? Around Easter. And
yeah.
We're so grateful. And I feel like I've learned a lot just sitting and chatting with you and stopping to think about what we're reading and having an intentional dialogue about life and about God and how the word applies to our everyday life. So we're talking about the winds of change. And certainly that applies to everyone's life, that we
yes.
have to face change in our lives, sometimes comfortable change, sometimes uncomfortable change. And what we kind of were asking ourselves as we stepped back is, how do I actually respond when change is put in front of me? Or when I, yeah, whether that's work, whether that's relationships, whether that's something that God is teaching us that's new or different.
Yes.
And it's interesting, Jen, I was doing a little bit of research beforehand and looking at the diffusion of innovation curve.
So how people respond to change.
How people respond to change. So it's like a bell curve, mm-hmm. right? So when you're presented with a change, there are the people who are the early adopters who are like, yeah, that sounds good. Okay, you know what? I'm in. I'm going to jump into this and I'm going to change. I'm going to do it. That's usually me, if it's a good idea. And then there's the early adopters. And then in the middle, you have the moderate adopters as you come up the bell curve. Then you have the late adopters. And then you have the laggers who are... You're lagging?
Maybe.
And then the laggers are, they take a long time to convince, and they might really need a lot of supporting evidence. And it's a small, I guess, if you're looking left to right. So early adopters, middle adopters, and then somewhere in here, you've got this critical mass where enough people have been convinced of this innovative idea that it's going forward. And then eventually these people down here, the laggers, they'll jump on board at some time. But they're not as influential as like bringing the tide of change, but they jump on eventually.
Well, because it's been proven. And you might be thinking, what are they talking? Why are they talking about this? Because last week we started reading in chapter 11 of Acts, mm-hmm. and how Peter in chapter 10 had been given a vision that the Gentiles were to be welcomed into the kingdom of God. And now he's come back to Jerusalem to convince the Jewish leaders how do you even talk about that? The Christian leaders of Judaism, because there's been this transition, right? So Jesus
yeah.
has come.
Jews have become Christians.
Jews have become Christians. And so there's this group of people there that are now like the hub of the church and trying to make this new sect of Judaism flourish is mm-hmm. ultimately, because they would never say they weren't Jews. They were Jewish people
right.
who believed that Jesus was the Messiah.
Yes.
So, and up to this point, it was a sin to associate with Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And so Peter, one of the leaders of Christianity at this point is saying, no, God gave me a vision and we're supposed to be welcoming them in. So last week we talked about being the change agent and how to be a change agent. And I'm reading it going, Peter, like, Yeah. Well done. Like, and how you brought about that change of this is what God has told me. There's witnesses. So he brought the witnesses with him. He went over exactly what had happened. Mm-hmm. And then he made the key points that even the Holy Spirit is really the one that's instigating this. So how could I be against it? And so that last portion of the scripture is verse 22 of chapter 10 says, "The men replied, 'We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that we could hear you what you have to say.'" Oops. I wondered why that did not sound right.
Yeah, I thought that sounded strange.
So let's turn that page. And see, the problem is the same part of the page. That's why I was like, wait a second.
And the story sounds the same.
It does. Let's try verse 18.
Of chapter 11.
When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life."
Yeah.
So, you know, going over what you said about the change theory.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I could totally imagine being at the Jerusalem church and listening, going, like, I'd be listening for some key things. Yeah. Okay, what did the Spirit say? How was this confirmed?
Yes.
Have we seen a working out, an experience of this? So I would be sitting there with them listening for those things because I am a late adopter, if not a, you know, a lagger. Like when a new fashion comes in, I am certainly not the one to jump on it. I want to see if it's going to be around for a year or two before I buy anything that goes along with that. Whereas Carrie definitely is an early adopter. She sees something, she's like, yeah, and she does it and she looks great. And I'm like, yeah.
Only because other people dress me, our friend.
But she jumps on the bandwagon, and it's great. And I'm always like, okay, I'll test this. I'll wait. I'll see. Only very rarely am I an early adopter. When the iTouch first came out, I did have a first generation.
You did?
And that was one of the few times. Only because there was a kid in my youth group, he's showing it to me, and I'm like, whoa, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you want to try it? And I said, no. If I touch it, I'll want it.
He's like, tried it.
Just try it. And then I tried it, and I was like, whoa.
I want that.
And the next day, I went to get one.
You were on that Apple bandwagon hardcore.
I was on it, and it was like, I use it for so many things. When I went to Taiwan in 2008, I made so many notes on it, and I was like, whoa, this is so cool. I'm so glad I did this. But it was a real stretch for me, because normally I am a late adopter. I need to be convinced.
Yeah.
And often, though, it's someone's experience that changes my heart. And that's why, and we said this in the last show, why story is so important and witness is so important. Like, I want to hear the story of you know, what the change should be.
Yeah.
And then I want to actually see the experience.
Yes.
Right? And so these people had seen these witnesses that Peter brought with him. So it wasn't just Peter. Mm-hmm. It was these other witnesses. So as, you know, I can imagine sitting there listening to the story of each one of these witnesses and going, okay,
maybe
that's right. But something I've had to learn is to check my own heart and say, why do I not want change? Why does this make me feel uncomfortable? Or is this really real? And
that's a great question, Jen. And I wonder if the nature of the change itself, how much it's going to impact your life, dictates, you know, the delayed response or whether you're going to be an early adopter. I mean, if it's to try a new food and like you've already been trying new, okay, so maybe that's not a good example.
Oh yeah, new food is, usually Carrie has to say, try this, you'll like it. And I'm like,
and then you like it.
And then but usually she's the one that, like, we have a Vitamix and she's the one that's been using it for like 5 or 6 months. And then I'm like, cause in the beginning I was poo-pooing it. And then I was like, okay. Like,
oh, just put it in the appliance graveyard. No. Anyways,
and then I started using it. I'm like, whoa, this
life
is
change.
Cool.
Life change. So, but when the change itself or like the new idea, I think, causes some dissonance with, a foundational belief or something that you hold really dear or is part of your like traditional way of thinking or way of doing or pattern of living, if it's going to upset something that is really deep rooted in you, the response that kind of dictates the response a lot of times.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Often my first go-to is no.
Yeah.
Often. And so I have learned to say, leave it with me. Just leave it with me. Leave it with me. Let me ask the Lord about it. And then the Lord starts changing my own heart. Because I've learned that about myself, that I'm not an early adopter.
Yeah.
That I really do need to be convinced because stuff is going on. And it is a security. And it is control. And how is this really going to work out? And I don't want to waste people's time or money or energy. And I want to know that it's really from the Lord, especially in a leadership position.
Yes.
I don't want to send my people down a road that's not... Yes. You know, what God is calling us to.
But what's also interesting, if when you're looking at change theory, sometimes the laggers can be identified as like a lion. Like that's their animal representation, if you will. Whereas like the early adopters, like the golden retriever, like, okay, yeah, come on. Oh, you're, I'll be your friend, whatever. But once you convince the lion and they are on board with the change, they can help convince everybody else because the change in them can be so profound and they have that strength because they're fully convinced in their own mind.
Yes.
You know, so that's sometimes a good thing.
So as we go to commercial break, how do you feel about change? Think about it. We'll be right back.
Whether you shop on ThinkGeek, GearBest, B&H Photo Video, eBay, or Amazon, or even if you want a free trial of Audible, you'll find the best deals and support the shows we produce by simply visiting the shopping sites you already frequent by using the links on our website. Visit category5.tv/partners for the full and ever-growing list and help us create more free content like this show. Thank you for shopping with our partners, and thank you for watching.
Hi, and welcome back to New Every Day. Thank you for staying with us. Thank you also to our partners who make this show possible. Go on to our website, neweveryday.tv. Click on our partners tab and you can see how other people are supporting us. And if you would like to support us, there's opportunities for you to do that through that partners page. So we thank you in advance and thank you also to the other people who are making this show possible.
So how do you deal with change? It is one of the things that is always, you know, people always come to me with ideas and what do you think about this and how do I filter them? And that's probably as someone who, I guess, is guarded about change. Okay, Lord, how do I feel about this? One of the things I often think about, well, who is the suggestion coming from?
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Right? And yet I don't want to
have any.
Yeah. Do they have credibility? And do they have influence? And and then even if they are a person with credibility and influence, am I thinking, but is it from the Lord? Because I never want to miss out on something that is from the Lord just because of the person that's bringing it to me.
Yeah.
And that is one of the toughest things as, I want to say, an instigator of change or a proponent of change, I often have to think about is, okay, where is this idea coming from? Is it just, you know, is it from the Lord or do I think it would be a good idea because it would just make everybody's life easier? Well, no, like it really, for me, and I know for Carrie too, we've had these conversations so many times. Like, is this from the Lord? Like, am I supposed to be doing this because it's what the Lord wants? And yes, there is a permissive will of God where he allows things to happen because of choices we make. But there's the sovereign will of God too. And so often we pray like, your kingdom come, your will be done. And so as we read this passage from Acts 11, obviously that was your kingdom come. That was like a God wanted the Gentiles, right, to come to faith. Like, and now was the time because of the way the world was set up. And Israel was like at the center of civilization. Like so many roads passed through Israel. So the news really could be taken to so many places. So
good point.
God set it up that now was the time.
Yes.
And then he set it up that Peter would be given the message
Because
he was a person of influence.
Yeah.
And then he even knew how to speak to Peter. Like, he gave Peter the vision, and then he gave him the experience, and then it was, and then it happened three times. So in Peter's own spirit, it was confirmed that this is from the Lord. Yeah. So when he went to the Jerusalem church, it was like, it's of God.
Yeah, he could speak confidently.
He could speak confidently.
Hmm. Yes.
And it's like, okay, like, Lord.
Yeah.
And that's, if you are having to receive the change, because originally Peter had to receive the change, and then he became the change agent. So like you said, the lion, right?
Yeah.
Like, he had to receive it. He had to work it through himself. He had to go through all of his preconceived ideas. Like, Lord, we've never done that before.
Yeah.
And then as the Lord wooed him into that, he was able, as you said, to be the lion,
yeah.
right? To just say, no, like, this really is from the Lord, and this is what we should be doing. And mm-hmm. and the people received that because he walked with them through. And so, as for someone who doesn't really do change well, that's what I would need. Is I would yeah. I would need a real confirmation that this is from the Lord, the two or three witnesses.
Yeah.
I would need to have the experience of, yeah, this is true. And that's why it's so important to share a story, which we continue to say, because it's like, oh, she's gone through the same thing I have. Okay, I now have confidence that I could receive this change.
Yes.
And do this.
Yeah, and I think that I've also experienced some reluctance to adopt at least a sense of openness to what, like, a new thing that God might be doing, or like a new way of hearing his voice. Mm-hmm. Because I used to think, okay, yes, we can detect God's voice and what he's doing through circumstance and conversation with others, but mostly it's going to come from the Word of God. That's like our solid foundation.
Yes,
and
it
yes,
is.
It is. But initially I didn't believe that believers could hear from Holy Spirit specifically about people's lives and pray specifically about things that pertained only to them, like through prophecy and through different aspects of praying, of prayer. But God brought me to that place through hearing it from different people and then experiencing it myself and then being able to pray and hear his voice for other people specifically.
Yes.
And so he kind of like slowly brought me there by his grace. But now I'm like, God can do anything. And mm-hmm. if you are wondering, like, oh man, is God real in this situation? Or like, can he speak to me here? Or does he really want me to actually love this person? Or, you know, take this person out for coffee whom I really don't jive with? Like, I would never hang out with that person. Ask the Lord to show you.
Yes.
He will show you because he loves you and he loves the other person. And I got to tell you, Jen, like, I knew that God could speak through dreams, but until I experienced that myself, I was a late adopter into believing the validity of other people's dreams that they heard from the Lord.
Yes. And so often that's what the Lord does, is he gives you the experience and then you go, oh, that was real.
It was real.
That was real. And that's why it's so important to share your experience, to be a part of a small group. And, you know, when you're talking about scripture or whatever, then you can actually say, well, this is what, I had this experience. And then other people are like, yeah, I had the same one. And all of a sudden it's confirmed. And you're like, God really does speak that way.
Yeah.
Well, if God speaks that way, then maybe he is speaking to other people. And so when they come to me and say, you know, well, I heard the Lord say, well, I've heard the Lord say things too. Okay, well, then how do we actually walk through it? Does it match up with scripture? Does it match up with experience and how we... Because I agree. Often it's the tradition inside ourselves that needs to change. There's this dissonance and it's like, okay, Holy Spirit, you need to do a work. If this is from you, then change me. And that's the key. Don't change the other people.
Change me.
Change me.
And when God says... like in Romans, it talks about renewing your mind. And when you renew your mind through the Word of God, that then the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind verses of Scripture to confirm what he's saying.
Yes.
In a supernatural way. And I wrote down a thought just as we were talking about how as Christians who have the Holy Spirit, if we're living in submission to God, then we are living in a state of readiness to receive what God has. And so if the wind of the Spirit changes and moves in a certain direction to go this place, to speak with this person, to be open to this people group, or a new idea, then we're going to be ready for it.
Yes.
Because we've already been in the secret place. We've already heard from the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is ready to confirm it in our hearts.
Yeah, so to sum up, we need to be in a place of readiness for regarding change. So when we talk about the winds of change, be in a place of readiness. Be spending time with the Lord. Like, mm-hmm. Peter knew it was the Lord's voice. Like, he knew, right? Because he knew what the Lord's voice sounded like. So you got to spend time. You also need to surrender mm-hmm. to the Lord. Like, okay, Lord, prepare me for change. Prepare me for what you are doing. And then the courage to walk it out. Okay, Lord, help me to walk out what I feel that you're telling me. And believe that the Holy Spirit's going to go before. Yeah. Preparing the way.
Yeah.
So, winds of change.
Winds of change. Be ready for it. Why don't I pray for us?
Sure.
Father, thank you so much that you opened a way for us to come to you and know you and experience eternal life through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And we look forward to that day when we are going to spend eternity with you. But so much more, God, you have sent us Holy Spirit to be mm-hmm. our counselor, to bring wisdom and direction, and we want to be so open to what you're doing. And God, when you bring a wind of change, may we be ready to receive it out of love and obedience for you. I just pray this, and I pray your blessing on our viewers and our listeners, that they would spend time with you in the quiet, in the secret place, to learn your voice. Jesus, you say that your sheep know your voice and they mm-hmm. follow you, and I pray that we would be good listeners. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next week on New Every Day.
See you later.
Week. Cheers.
Catch a new episode of New Every Day every Friday morning at neweveryday.tv. We're also on Kodi, Roku, Plex, YouTube, and Facebook. Or if you're in Southern California, tune in every Sunday morning at 6:30 Pacific on Channel 33 Television for the High Desert.